I'll try not to take much time, but I feel very compelled to speak briefly this morning. And I wanted to read a couple of scriptures out of Ephesians chapter 6. And then I want to go over to Proverbs for a moment. Chapter 6, 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou may livest long on the earth. Excuse me for the emotion that's coming through. Now, there's a reason that I wanted to read that. And I don't know exactly all I'm going to say, but I'm trying to get these thoughts out. Today is the last day that Dad will be in services with us here before we go back to Houston. We'll leave next Saturday to drive down. And hopefully, the way I've worked it out with my brother-in-law, we'll be able to get Dad down there, and he'll get back to Houston. We're going to meet in Hillsboro, and I'll get back up here in time for church on Sunday in both places, and the good Lord will be at both places at the same time. But I felt compelled largely because of this event this weekend, and Lord willing, Dad will be with us again in the springtime. And I want to go to Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is what my mother and father did with myself and my brother and sister. And I will tell you, we didn't always appreciate it either. There were moments when Brother Randy, when I mentioned to him I wanted to speak to the church for a moment, said, I hope this isn't a time for acknowledgement of some sin. He said, this is not the time. And so, don't worry, I'm not going there. But we all know we're all sinners. So, when I was young, I didn't always appreciate this. And I have to say, there were moments when I thought being a Primitive Baptist was a real pain.
Yeah.
Okay? It'd be a lot easier to be in a different church. The single biggest privilege that I've had in my life, other than what I believe is the Spirit of God that He brought on me, not because I deserved it, for reasons I can't even fully comprehend. The single other thing is being a member of the Primitive Baptist Church. And it's a heritage that I was given from my family. And I've been very, very fortunate in so many ways because of it. And I get to experience a little bit of heaven here on this earth. And the event, I've had a lot of, obviously, thoughts in the days and weeks coming up to this weekend and this weekend itself. And I really appreciate the comments yesterday during the ordination service that the church chose us, not God. I spoke out of the book of Numbers a couple of weeks ago, in chapter 11, and it's along the same lines of some of the comments about Exodus, where Moses needed some help. And he told Moses to go select 70 men, elders, leaders, and God would come to them and put a spirit in them like he had done for Moses. And I think it's important to understand that as deacons, we're not chosen by God, but we're chosen by the church. But the church wouldn't have chosen anyone for that office if the Spirit of God wasn't there.
Amen.
Amen, brother. That's right.
So all the honor, praise, and glory goes to God. All good comes from Him. And for Brother Tim and I to have the privilege to be of service to this church and to be a part of this piece of heaven on earth is because God gave that to us through His Spirit, and the church honored us with the opportunity to serve. And I want to say something about my co-deacon, Brother Tim. As you guys may be able to tell, I'm my father's son, and I talk a lot. Trust me, the people at work know that too. Evidently, I have a lot to say. Brother Tim doesn't talk as much as I do. That's a blessing for him. But I tell you, you watch Brother Tim. That's a man of action.
That's right.
He works. And I just hope that I can live up to be as good a deacon as he's already been for this church before I ever even got here. And deacon may be behind the scenes, not so much out in front. So I'm so thankful and blessed to be able to serve this church with Brother Tim, and I expect to learn a lot with him. Now, one more thing I want to say. Sometime in the first half of the 90s, I don't know the exact date, and it's not a good date to want to remember, but I ended up in the ditch. Don't worry, Brother Randy, this isn't an acknowledgement. Other than I was in a ditch. And I have to say, prior to the ditch, I was on the shoulder of the road, and then I was getting a little bit over on the rough. And then somewhere in the mid-90s, I ended up completely down in the ditch. And the scary thing was, I knew it, but I wasn't honest with myself about it. On September 21st, 2008, I started climbing out of the ditch, and I started going back to church. That's the date that I remember. But the only reason I did that was because of the heritage I'd been given. God and His grace brought me up out of that ditch and said, go to Little Vine Primitive Baptist Church on that day. And I've tried to be faithful to that ever since. And I have to say the blessings are tremendous, because I wouldn't have, for me, the best spouse, most wonderful woman in my life, if God hadn't have done that for me. It came from Him. And when I came up here with Cindy, when we came up here to Wichita, we thought we were coming to a job. We were coming to a church. And I love this church, and I love you, and I'm so thankful. And all the honor, praise, and glory goes to the good Lord above. Otherwise, we can't do any good. And thank you for listening to me.
God is so good.
Amen.
Brother Tim, would you like to say anything? See, the difference The difference between you and some of these others is you study to be quiet. You know, the Lord said, study to be quiet. And do your own business. Well, I am just like this guy. I don't know when to shut up. You know, Will Rogers, one of the famous Oklahomans, he says, never pass up the opportunity to shut up. And Brother Bill, he quotes scripture to me all the time. He says, even a fool, when he shuts his mouth, is considered wise. He says, it's hard to listen to you. It's hard to listen, you to listen with your mouth open. Watch my lips. I mean, and he says, it's not about you, Daniels. I've quoted that, Brother Andy, so many times. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about me. But it's about the Lord. Brother David, I want to read you your experience. Okay? This is yours and mine. This is Psalms 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined and he unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. He called it a ditch, but it was a pit. Out of the miry clay, he set my feet upon a rock. I wonder what that rock is. He set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. Mark told us yesterday about he that doeth my words, he that heareth my words and doeth them, I will liken him unto a man that built his house upon a rock. And when the storm comes, the wind and the storm, his house will not fall down. But Brother David, when we build our house upon the things of this world, the things of this earth, that's sinking sand, and it will not stand. When the troubles and the trials of life come, our house will, it says, the house will come down, and in great will be the fall of it. Now, you know, I also, and I'm going to go on with this in just a minute, but the Lord told Peter, and he tells you and I the same thing. Satan has desired to have you and to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you. You know, if the Lord Jesus Christ prays for us, that ought to be pretty good, isn't it? I mean, that's what he did John 17. That's the real Lord's prayer in John 17. But he said, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. David, while you was in that ditch, and I've been in there a lot more than I want to admit. While you was in that ditch, you couldn't even help yourself, much less anybody else. The only way that we can be strong is in the Lord. We have no strength at all. Zero with him. But it says, after he was converted, now this is David, but this is David, and Alan, and David. Okay. He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. When God turned Peter around, you know, Peter, Randy tells me I'm like Peter, and I said, yeah, the guy with his foot in his mouth all the time. That's what Peter was always saying things before, Bill would tell me, brother, I always call him dad, but he said, you need to engage your brain before you engage your mouth. Amen. He was hard on me. He kicked my tail more times than I want to remember. But I'm telling you, I love that man with my very soul, by the very depths of my heart. He and I were, we were so close, and I didn't thought I would ever, I actually thought I would never be able to live without him, but I am. See, it's not about Bill either. And if he was here, he'd amen me. But notice it says, he hath put a new song in my mouth. Did he do that? Amen. You know what I think about Brother David? When he was offered that job in Wichita, what his thought was, I will take that job if there's a church by that I can attend. And that's so honorable, you know, he didn't look for the job and look, take the job until he knew he was going to have a church where he could go to church. And I believe, now I've told David this and it's no secret, that I believe the Lord directed him and his family to us. And in the same time, the Lord directed us to him. Amen. It's a mutual thing. And Brother Tim and Sister Angie, they have been absolute, the greatest blessings to this church. And if it hadn't been for them, you know, when we moved into this building, Sister Angie said, smells like Perth. And she said, I want it. Well, there's a lot of people said, this thing is a money pit. You know, you could look down. You could actually look down beside the walls right there and see the ground. This building was completely shoved off of its foundation. And it was falling down around our head. But Angie says, smells like home. And look what happened. Isn't this awesome? He put a new song in my mouth, even praises unto our God. You know, I think about that song. What is that song? You know, in Revelations it says they sang a new song. And the only ones that could sing that song was those who had the Spirit of God in their hearts. It's a new song. You know, Brother Hewlin said a while ago, he said, I was raised up on Amazing Grace. Amen. Can't get any better than that. But there's no other name for grace than amazing. You talk about, you can't, that's one of the things that the Kyle sisters down there, they have this song that says, there's no other name for grace but amazing. The thing about it is, you can't really sing amazing grace unless you understand grace. Yeah. There's a lot of folks out there in the world believe that they believe in grace. They said, we believe in saving by grace, but there is no but. It's either grace or it's works. Brother John, they don't mix. It's like water and oil. It's not partly God and partly me and all this. It's all the Lord. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a what? Wretch. No, like me. You see, the Apostle Paul, he had the same, he was not a superhuman being, Brother Randy. He wasn't anymore. He was just like us. He was a sinner saved by the grace of God. The Apostle Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners of whom I used to be chief.
No.
I am chief. Yeah. Who am I who am less than the least of all saints that this grace should be given to me that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? Amen. We don't understand, I don't even know if we understand the magnitude of God's grace. John Newton didn't. He wrote that song. You know, he was a slave owner. He was a scoundrel. Anybody that will trade in humanity and sell and trade human beings is a scoundrel. But God turned that man around. You know, and I've always thought about the Apostle Paul, he says he's our pattern. He said, I was a blasphemer. I made havoc of the church. I did all of these things in ignorance. And he says, when the Lord came to me, and that's when, you know, some of our folks get mixed up on conversion and regeneration. I had one here the other day, brother, a church member, one of our church members, asked me, well, what's the difference in that church and this church? And why is it that we have so many churches and denominations in the world when we seemingly are using the same book? That's a good question. What's the difference? Well, the difference is that we believe, and we really believe, in salvation by the grace of God. Salvation alone. But the main difference The main difference, you can only give one thing, David, I want you to tell me, what is the main difference? Why do you come here instead of, there's a lot of churches that have a lot more people, and you could have a lot more influence in there if you just go over there to those churches. Why don't you do that? What's the difference? Brethren, I believe, and by the way, those people are our brothers and sisters. We need to recognize that. And they're out there and they need to be saved to the truth. Amen. What are we doing? I mean, I talked to your sister Joe a while ago and I thought, I'll just come up here and just go around and knock on all these doors. Yeah. You say, well, that's not Primitive Baptist tradition. That wouldn't be right. Brother Cummins did it. And we have failed as Primitive Baptist in evangelism. We have failed. If the truth is so wonderful and that God has given it to us, why don't we share it more? Just a question. You know, the main difference is the application of the gospel. What is the gospel for? You know, no matter where you go or how far you go, whether it's the rank Arminians or the fatalist Calvinist that believe that you can go from, and Brother Davey says in the ditch, Brother Oba used to say, I'd just soon be in that ditch as that ditch. Would you rather be in the free will ditch or the fatalism ditch? God predestinated sin, and He predestinated some to go to heaven, and He predestinated some to go to hell. And this is, I wouldn't have that, and I wouldn't have this one over here either. You see, the truth is always in the middle. It's in the middle. There's two ditches. But the gospel, no matter which group you're in, the gospel is the means of salvation. And only those, there's some even among our people, that say the only way that you can become a child of God or be a child of God is believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ, the Son of God. You cannot be a child of God without believing in Jesus. Now I ask you a simple question. If that's so, it says that the believing in Jesus is the greatest evidence. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. It's one of the greatest evidences that we have. But that's not the only evidence that we have. And if the gospel is God's ordained means of saving His people, then I want you to think about how narrow-minded that is. That leaves out all of the, especially the Old Testament Jews. They're all going to hell. And it leaves out all of these Pharisees and all these that was over here that denied that Jesus was the Christ. Brother Keith, they're still over there at the wall right now waiting and looking for the Messiah to come. And if any of those, according to the doctrine, if any of those ever die and without having accepted Jesus Christ, then they're eternally lost. Brother Healing, that's what is being taught in just about every denominational church in the world out here. What's the difference? Why aren't, you know, the gospel is good news. Amen. It's not just news. It is news, but it's good news. But is it good news to the lost sinner? Is it good news to the unregenerate person? If you just hear the gospel and do this and do that and do all these different things, then you will become a child of God. There's about six different steps that we can go through. You have to hear the gospel. You have to believe the gospel. You have to confess Christ. First you have to believe that you're a sinner. You have to believe all of these things. And my question is this: at what point in that process do you become saved? Is it when you confess, or is it, some even say you have to be baptized and, and continue faithful. Perseverance. Have to persevere in the faith. In the faith. And if you go out here, Brother David, if you died in that ditch according to their doctrine, you would have been eternally lost. That's the reason you're not out there in one of those other groups.
You have to regenerate yourself.
But I want you to see something. The gospel is not the ordained means of salvation. Now, if it was, and if it is, then they're right, and we're wrong. We're wrong. If God chose the gospel to be the means by which a child of God becomes born again, then we're wrong. It can't be both ways. It cannot be, God did his part. Now you got to do your part. God, and I've actually heard election explained like this. God cast a vote, devil cast a vote, and the election is tied. Now then, which one do you want? You can choose whether you want to follow Jesus or you can choose to follow the devil. But it's your choice. Free will save you or it will condemn you. You have to choose one or the other. What idiot would choose hell? Now I want you to just ask you that. What idiot would choose to go to a place of burning fire? If you had the choice, would you rather choose this glorious bliss where there's nothing but peace and love and joy and there's no more death, but over here it's an eternal death. Now if you had the choice, would you choose to go there? That's crazy. You see, the choice, praise God, the choice is not mine, but it's his. We didn't choose him, he chose us.
Amen.
And he sent his son to die in our place. There is no choosing except we can choose, we must choose to follow him.
Amen.
He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praises unto our God. Many shall see it. See what? Many shall see what's happened. You know, it's a miraculous thing. Paul, the things that Paul used to, he said, the things that I used to do, I hate them. The things that I love now, I used to hate. I used to throw people in prison for doing what I'm doing. He said, I consented to the, Apostle Paul was guilty of murder. You say, well, he didn't kill anybody. Yes, he did. He consented to it. He was there. He was there, and they laid their coats at the feet of Saul when they stoned Stephen to death. Paul was the one that gave the consent to do it. He cast in prison all those that call upon Jesus. Many saw it. Many saw Paul's conversion, and they didn't like it. There was one time they made a pact. We are not going to eat or drink until Paul is dead. We got to get rid of this guy. He's a traitor. They're turning the world upside down. You see, the world's upside down and we need to try to get it back up. That's the problem. The world is upside down, Brother Mike. And we need to put it. See, and only way that we can do that is through the Word of God.
Amen.
And trusting in Him. Notice it says, and He shall put a new song in my mouth. The only one He's going to put in His mouth is one that believes that He is the Christ. Or the Jehovah God. Jehovah God. Sister Tammy and I was kidding a little bit this morning about various ones and she said, well, the Jehovah's Witness, they go around knocking on doors. I said, you're a Jehovah's Witness. Did you know you're a Jehovah's Witness? I can prove it by this book right here. Over in Isaiah, it said, you're my witnesses, saith Jehovah. And over in the New Testament, it said, you're my witnesses. Well, whose witnesses are you? You're Jehovah's Witnesses. Every one of you. Jehovah God. Yeah, I mean, He is God of the universe, and we are the witnesses of Him. You know, a witness is somebody that, the Greek word is martus, which is one who is willing to die rather than give up their faith. Brother Randy and I was talking about this last evening. I just wonder if it came down to the thing, like over in Columbine. I always remember the little girl. They said, all you have to do is just recant and tell us that you don't believe in Jesus and deny Him and I won't kill you. She wouldn't do it. I hope that I would have, you know, that if they was putting Christians in jail for doing what we're doing today, would there be enough evidence to convict me? When we think about how great our God is and how much He's blessed us to be able even to be here today and to witness such wonderful ceremonies and things that we had yesterday, and the presence of God was so thick. He was so wonderful. But it says, He put a new song in my mouth. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in Jehovah. Sister Tammy, all caps. You see, people are watching us. Do you know that we don't have to, I mean, Brother Tim, you don't have to go around saying Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Your walk is your greatest testimony. The way you conduct your life and what you do and how you treat your wife and your children is a testimony of your love for Jesus. I mean, you don't have to go around doing all these things like David and I do all the time, talking about all this stuff. Notice it says, many shall see it. What are they seeing? They're seeing your faith. They're seeing how you have converted your life from being in the ditch to being up on a rock and singing praises to our God. I sat there yesterday afternoon and I literally felt the Spirit of God when we were singing, "How great thou art, O Lord my God, how awesome God you are." Many shall see it. You see, Brother Mark talked about a hypocrite. A hypocrite is somebody, all the people in Hollywood are hypocrites. You say, well, that's not very nice. Well, I'm just saying this, that they're acting a role. The roles that they are acting out on the stage are lies. Now there's some, I mean, I watch as much TV and more movies as anybody else. But what I'm saying is the people that the real people are those what they're like outside of Hollywood. Acting, there's a lot of good people in Hollywood. I like Clint Eastwood myself, don't you? But a hypocrite is somebody that professes to be something they're not. And somebody out there, especially the little ones, you know, he talked about appearance. A parent must be the same before their children. They can't teach their children one thing and go do something else.
That's true.
That it's not proper for a mother or a dad to say, "Well, you do what I say, not what I do." Well, what you do is the testimony of who you are.
Yeah.
You're witnesses to Jehovah. Listen to this, Brother David. Blessed is that man that maketh Jehovah his trust. Respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. We don't, you know, that's one of the greatest fears that the Apostle Paul had. And it's happened to some good men. He said, I keep my body. I bring it under subjection, lest I myself, when I preach to others, become a castaway. I cannot imagine having the fire of God in me as I do. I told somebody that I'd rather preach than eat. And I do a lot of eating. But preaching is my principal thing. God has put it in my heart and it's in my bones. And what would it be like, Brother Randy, to be shut off and not be able to proclaim the gospel? It would be the worst hell there on earth for a man who is a preacher of God to be shut up and become a castaway. Castaway. That means disqualified. You can no longer preach my word. How bad is that? That's probably about as bad as you could get. Apostle Paul said, I fear lest I myself. You know, and each one of us are witnesses to Jesus. Each one of us are those who other people are looking. You want people to come to our meetings. We need to be a testimony to this community. Sister Job's been a one. I always thought about how many times, what a sacrifice she was doing when she was doing all those backpacks. Took a lot of work. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. You know, one of Proverbs, I have thought about this and I have it. Sister Tammy, you know where it is. I quote it all the time when we were at Tuttle. So many times that Brother Don made me a plaque with it on it. Proverbs 3:5. It's sitting right there on my bookshelf. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. What is trust? It's pretty much close to faith, but it's being able to say, I'm going to do what He says, even if I don't think it will work. You ever pray and say, well, I'm going to pray, but I don't really think it's going to do any good. What does prayer do anyway? You know, the Lord, and Brother Mark talked about this yesterday, pray for your enemies. Oh, that's hard to do. But you know, the Lord said, do it. You think if the Lord said, do it, it would be a good thing to do? I mean, we have to trust in His word. And He says, pray for your enemies, pray for those who despitefully use you. You know why He says that? Because praying, it's hard for you to pray for somebody that you don't like and not like them. That makes sense? It's hard for you. I mean, the praying for your enemies is not so much for them. It's for me. So that we won't have vengeance. You know, vengeance is, any time that we take vengeance on somebody of our loved ones or anybody, we're putting ourselves in the place of God. Because He said, vengeance is mine. So when you take vengeance, you're taking that which belongs to God and putting it to yourself. Vengeance belongs to God. And He says, we're not to repay evil with evil, but rather we're to repay good for the evil. And you think that you can't do that without grace. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud. Oh, that's a mouthful. What is pride? Pride is it's like Nebuchadnezzar. Remember what happened to old Nebuchadnezzar? He walks out on his front porch and he looks out over his great kingdom. Oh, look at this great Babylon that I've built. He didn't build it. God gave him that kingdom and God took it away. He said, he that exalts himself, God is able to abase. The man, he said, this day is thy kingdom rended from you. The man, his hair. I like somebody sometimes as an artist, Brother Keith, to draw me that man. His hair grew out like eagle's feathers, and his claws, his nails like claws. And he walked around and ate grass. That was Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah.
You think God is able to raise you up. God is able to bring you down. And he hates pride. He hates it. Pride, a proud man, he said, pride goes before a fall. It's an evil thing. It's sin. So when we begin to exalt ourselves, we're just about ready to be brought low. And that, and there's more places than that we could go, but pride is something that God hates. And it says here, and respect, we're not to respect the proud. The song they used to sing, Brother Hewlin used to sing in the songs out of there yesterday at our cookout. I hope you never sang that song. Oh, it's so hard to be humble. I'm perfect in every way. I just can't hardly wait to get home to look in the mirror.
It is.
That's what they sing in some of them. And they, isn't that? When you begin to think that you're something, you're nothing. And we're not to praise them, people. We're not to give them any credit. When we look at this, he said, do not respect them, the proud. Don't respect them. Nor such as turn aside to lies. I want us to think about this. And we sang that song. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. How many of you, and if you raise your hand, I'll tell you, you probably know how old I am. How many remember Rosemary Clooney? She said, I fall asleep counting my blessings. That's what, most of the time before I go to sleep, I'm thanking the Lord for the day, but most of the time I fall asleep praying. That's sweet rest. But notice what this fourth verse says. Blessed, I've already read four, five. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. Oh. It's just stop sometime and just get you a piece of paper and start numbering them. The blessings that God has given you. I hope you'd run out of paper before you run out of. But there's so many things. God loads us with benefits daily. And it says, many, O Lord, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. Isn't it? God thought about us, Brother Andy, before we ever thought about him. And it says in one place, it says that there's a book of remembrance written for those who think upon God. If God has given us the blessing of getting up in the morning and getting out of bed, as sometimes it's so hard to do, we need to thank him for, there's a lot of folks that can't get up. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and the thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up. Brother Hewlin, that's Psalms 40, verse 5. But I want you to think about it. He says, I challenge you to get a pencil and paper and just start writing down all the blessings. You know the greatest blessing I have. One of the most wonderful blessings is him. God gave him to me. He's a gift. And you. All of you. I've been Tammy's pastor longer than she probably wants me to be. I know, darling. I'm only teasing. I have grown up. She has. I saw her children, her kids grow up. I was there when Alana and Lauren were born. I love them more than I could ever imagine. But I thank God for everybody, every one of you. Even for that girl back there that thinks that they're going to win. We had fun yesterday. We had fun. Baylor, she's a Baylor fan and I'm an OU fan, but I love all of God's children. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonderful works that thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. You know, count your many blessings. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. 16 blessings in here. Seven. Well, I'm not even a blessing. I didn't even bless me. But see, I've known these two Bolsinger girls back here for a long time. Had the privilege of being their pastor. Baptized both of them. Didn't I? Yeah, and Sandra too. That's not a small thing. That's a blessing to me. And what a greater blessing is to have them back here where I can be with them again. You see, God brings things back to us and He gives us so many wonderful things. I'm thankful for Carol and Harriet for having the privilege of being their pastor. And Sister Dean, what a sweet lady. They're more than can be numbered up. They're more, you know, we're such weak people. And we began to complain, murmur. Something goes wrong, we just say, poor me. Why did this have to happen to me? You know, Brother Bill, he says, why not me? What makes me so special? Why not me? Why am I not dying with cancer? I just think maybe that when God gets ready for me to go, He'll call me home. And I'm not the least bit worried about where or how. You know, I sometimes wonder, you know, I'm 76 years old and 3 score and 10. I've already gone past that. So, how long is the Lord going to let me live? Maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day, maybe 20 more years. I don't know. But you see, every day that we live, it's a gift from God.